Welcome to Greener Fields with me, your host, Hannah Nash. Here, I'll be chatting with people all around the world about the realities of life in your 20s and 30s, especially regarding what life is like living in Ireland or abroad. The good, the bad, the funny and the ugly, and everything else in between to help you decide whether the grass is always greener on the other side or just greener wherever you water it. Enjoy! Sarah Kim, you are very welcome to Greener Fields. How are you getting on?
Oh, thank you so much, Anna. I'm so excited to be here and I'm so good.
I for everyone listening, this is our second attempt at trying to record this. The first time we may have had the biggest nightmare of Greener Fields history when it came to connection and Wi-Fi and everything like that. But already rescheduling was worthwhile because I am so excited to interview and chat with yourself, Sarah Kim. I'm just such a big fan of what you do online, what you create. And when I put the little box in my Instagram to see who I should chat with, your page comes up so much. I think people love what you do, love how you promote wildlife and this country to such an extent that it's just amazing. And I'm personally beyond hyped. But before we get into this conversation, for those who don't know you, if they're living under a rock or something like that, can you please tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course, I'd love to. The last time we tried to do this was very funny and I was in Norway, and we'll get to that. But what I do is I am, a marine photographer and creator right now. I've come from a very different genre of food. So I'm also a food stylist and food photographer, which I still work in, but I love having the marine to go alongside it. And at the moment, traveling the world, I'm doing different marine experiences and seeing what I can see, which is class.
You just released your 2024 calendar, and it just looks so beautiful. I think what you do of capturing these moments when it comes to marine life and nature, I think, and also what you do alongside it is the kind of advocacy, the promotion of animals, and almost like in a way educate myself anyway to an extent of understanding what's under in our waters, instead of just the beach and the sea and the swim that we swim in, but actually what's underneath it and everything that impacts it. Is it's just, yeah, I can't wait to talk all about, I guess, how you found it or how it found you and what the last couple of years have looked like. But to give a bit of context to this conversation to begin with, is the question I love to ask my guests is, they're kind of a little bit of history when it comes to travel and adventure. So for some people, they have been traveling since they can remember. It was something that their parents or their family found as, you know, I guess really put an emphasis on, and they were always encouraged to travel and to seek those greener fields and everything like that. Whereas for others, it took maybe going to college, getting that little bit of independence. And then there's another category who haven't maybe found that or found it in their own way. But for yourself, has travel and adventure always been something that's like innately within you?
So I think my parents would have always brought us away when we were kids on holidays, and like always adventuring around in Ireland, or we live in the countryside, so even adventuring, and I had horses, so we're always on the go with those. But I think for me, what sparked it was I went through a really rough patch. I went through a really tough breakup, and on the other side of that, my sister would always come and check up on me. And she is a bit like, she loves to travel. And she always used to play videos to like cheer me up. And they're called the Bucket List Family. And they had this YouTube series. And I always actually, when people ask me this question, I forgot about this moment, because I always thought it was this time me and my friend went solo traveling. And I really got my spark back then. But actually, it was sparked from my sister playing all those videos. We literally went through the whole Bucket List YouTube series, and that's what inspired me to do, yeah, all the travel that I do now.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. And I think it's actually, you're not the first person who's mentioned during these conversations the impact of a potential breakup and what's that kind of has led on to in, you know, as that like a, I guess as an instigator for change in different ways, and I guess by default they are because things do change. But the fact that it was it's just it now I guess it makes sense to me now that it was a video series. It was content in a way. It was your sister and that kind of social or family support and everything like that. That I guess kind of like reignited or set that light in you that I guess maybe there was more out there for you than I guess where you were at that time, which was, going through a very difficult patch of a breakup. From that moment, where did you go? Where did you kind of in those couple of years ago, where was your kind of those first couple of travel experiences, whether it was with your sister or your friend or yourself? Yeah, I guess some of your early travel memories that stick with you now that I guess may have probably impacted or potentially impacted where you are today.
Yeah, I definitely think like those breakups really strike something for us to move forward, and that we see there's like way more to live for than what we think. But the first trip I did then after that was with my best friend. We went to India and Sri Lanka. Honestly, it was incredible. And I was meant to fly home with her just after we were there at Christmas. That was 2018, and we were meant to fly home just after Christmas. And I decided I wasn't ready to do that. And I went to Thailand then for a month and I started to learn to dive. So I guess that was like the start of the marine bits, you know?
Oh, yeah. And that's 2018, 2019. Like that's 3 or 4 years ago at this rate that I guess the original travel adventure, the kind of longer stints of, yeah, those places that are people, I think a lot of people's bucket list places, dream places you were going to experience and potentially for the first time. And something we speak a lot about on this podcast is the different cultures we get to experience and how we experience them when we travel. So sometimes if it's very quick travel, we don't really get to get into that kind of cultural experience as much as if it's a slightly slower travel or more intentional travel. For you and that trip with your friend where it was Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, these places that, again, like I said, just sound so incredible from the outset, from my point of view. How did you find those different countries and maybe the cultural impact, or I guess how they kind of being there and being with your friend in these beautiful places supported you throughout that difficult time?
Yeah, I think that being there in that like totally 360 or whatever cultural experience, it like alters your thought process about everything or everything and every way that we live, from like how we eat, even like the utensils we use or don't use in those countries, you know, because we're always taught to like eat a certain way and sit a certain way at the table, and then it's like, wait, these people are eating with their hands and sitting on the ground and eating on the go. So even having those little experiences, it really changes everything, I think. Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And although it was quite a fast-paced travel, because the culture in those countries is quite similar, we got to experience quite a bit. So it was, yeah, fascinating.
I remember thinking the same thing. I worked in Shanghai for a summer, and one of the first things I found was the different ways that people eat around the world. And I remember they would bring their the people I was working with would bring their food up to their mouth, and they would be slurping and eating off the bones of different things. And if I did that here, I'd be killed.
I'd be horrified.
And it took me a second. I was like, and then I realized with everyone we were working with from different parts of China, I was seeing it. And then I guess it took that kind of like instant Irish reaction of, oh my God, my granny's gonna give out to me, to actually recognize that this was how they show appreciation to food. That is how they get involved with it. And I think it's that for me anyway sparked the fact that, and I guess it's a late lesson to learn, but that people do different things in different parts of the world, and that we all think we're right or correct or the only thing to do it. And I think travel does that to us in different ways. It shows us a different way to live.
Yeah, and that there's no real right or wrong way to live or do or be. It's cool.
It's so cool.
It kind of sparks you to like be your own being as well.
Absolutely.
You know, rather than follow what everybody else is doing. I think that's what probably sparks what I do today as well.
Absolutely. I think definitely I've always found that, you know, if you get a little bit of space, and I can sometimes I can find that by driving to the countryside in Ireland, but sometimes it does take that little bit of a further travel to get that bit of perspective on yourself, but also your life and wider things at all. I think travel is such a good instigator, and a lot of people have remarked on this co or on this podcast about that of like travel as a perspective shifter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so good.
It's so good. I think so. It's just really, really important to have that space. And you know, for yourself, you would have traveled a little bit with that friend, and then you went to Thailand. And we're always talking on this during this podcast about the difference of kind of solo travel versus traveling with people. And you would have done lots of solo travel and lots of group travel now since that point. But from those kind of earliest experiences, I know a lot of people, there's a lot of fear associated with going somewhere on your own. I think there's a lot of shame in a weird way associated with going on your own. I've gone places on my own and people have been like, or I've always felt they're probably like, why does she not have someone to go with her? How can you tell me a little bit about maybe the differences you found between those experiences? And yeah, what your thoughts are on group travel, solo travel, friend travel, family travel, because it's something I think you've probably dipped your toe into a little bit of them all.
Yeah, and I always dip my toe into them all because I feel like I need the balance of all of them. It's so funny the shame thing, and people, I guess, would have that perspective a lot with like eating out and stuff. It's probably because the narrative that we've heard over the years that like, oh, feel sorry for that person because they're on their own. But like nine, like most of the time when you're solo traveling, you're choosing to do that for whatever reason. I love doing all of those types of travel, and Norway definitely was that for me. I chose that I really needed that time to travel on my own, but then I did 7 days on an expedition as a group trip, and honestly, solo travel is great because you meet loads of people, but there's nothing better than sharing the experience with other people. It is the best, especially people that really get you, align with you, and it's the conversations, the laughs, it's so good.
Yeah, I think if you can find some people, and that's not even necessarily friends to go with, but if you go on these things with other people, there's a high chance that they're going to have some mutual things to bond over. And those shared experiences, you can look into the research of the psychology behind what we get from sharing an experience with someone versus what we could get alone. And there's pros and cons to both, but that shared experience bit, the way our mind reacts to seeing other people in awe as well. It's like it's just something that I think it just intensifies the experience, and it makes it not just seeped in your memory, but also seeped in the memory of the other people you share it with, which is quite a special thing. It's something I'm definitely trying to do a little bit more of when it comes to 2024 and above beyond. It's that idea of, you know, I do things on my own that I love, but can we share that experience with more people? What would that look like? How do we do it? But you then would have come home from that trip. And part of, again, this conversation or this podcast is all about travel, emigration, and living in Ireland, everything in between. But really, it's more about the person beneath all of these decisions. So you would have come back in January, February 2019, fresh from this high of travel and adventure. And I know it's something that we talk a lot about here is the coming back to quote unquote reality and the life that you left before. And for some people, they find it really difficult. And that expectation versus reality and everything like that. But from that kind of, you know, I'm guessing it's January, February, March of 2019, where did you go from there?
So I was actually coming home to jobs that were scheduled in. And I'm very lucky that I, at the time, had created a life that I just loved anyway. And I get, yeah, I was coming back to a career that I was so passionate about, but also that I had already decided that I was going traveling again. And when I have a goal, I have no problem doing whatever it takes to get there, and the fastest way possible. So I had the goal already when I came back of like working as much as I can, saving up, and then traveling in 6 months' time, like long term. Yeah, that was my goal. Obviously, that all flip turned come to COVID.
I was like, these dates, I'm like, I guess 6 months, I was like, we're looking at March 2020 or something like that.
Basically, yeah, I had started saving and then my career started to really progress with food styling. So I said I would move up to Dublin and I would save up for a solid, I moved into apartment, saved up for a solid year, and then I would leave then, because the lease on our house was that long. Yeah, cue COVID.
Yeah, and of course, and like everyone, it's funny. It's definitely not funny, but I had another couple on the podcast, and they had gone booked their one-way flight the week before, and then they came back 3 weeks later, and they had spent a year. And for their point, they were like, they kind of in not a regret in a way, but they said that they kind of wish they saved in a more healthy way, where they didn't hate life before they left, because.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is something, you know, for some people, it is that kind of intense saving, and that's what works to get them there. And they said in hindsight, well, what they ended up doing the second time around when they went saving for travel was trying to still enjoy life and do things that they enjoyed and not be as frugal as maybe they were once. And I think it's an interesting way to think of it. But you had all these intentions, and I'm sure you had the list of places where you wanted to go, and who you were going to go with at different times, or you're on your own. And that probably didn't happen, or it didn't happen as soon as you had hoped, or even if at all. Can you tell me, I guess, firstly, how you dealt with that reality after a year of, you know, busting your gut, putting these plans in place? Because that disappointment, I think we can all relate to on some different level.
Yeah, okay.
It hit me so.
I busted my gut, but I was so lucky that it was towards something that I really loved. And then the year passed and I realized it was going nowhere. So I just continued with what I was doing. And then at one point I was burnt out and I was kind of wondering why I started falling out of love with something that people will come to me and they're like, I was the person people came to that was like, Sarah, like, is obsessed with her career. Like, she loves it. She's really good at it. And I started to really resent what I did. And I felt like it was like taking away from my joy of life. And then I realized it's because I kept chipping away at this career. And this was like at the end of COVID when I could have started traveling, you know, and I was still working away at something that I was really working at so I could travel. And then April, geez, 22, would that have been right?
Right. Yeah, I think so.
And I decided I was gonna move out of my apartment in Dublin and start traveling. But it actually took me until I did like little trips here and there. And originally my plan was to go straight to Australia. Because I've always wanted to go there. But I kept doing like these little trips here and there, doing little bits with friends. And I kept, I guess, nearly sabotaging what I really wanted to do. Maybe it was out of fear. But now that I look back on it, I think what I actually wanted had totally changed. But I wasn't able to recognize that. I no longer was 20, whatever, like 20. Well, I don't know what age I was when I wanted to go originally. A lot younger than I am now, anyway. And I didn't recognize that Sarah Kim wasn't who I am now, you know. And instead of taking that time then to sit back and like reevaluate what I wanted, I ended up spending all my money on travel, on different experiences. And I'm going to be really honest, I didn't enjoy half of them. And that's something that nobody talks about with travel. I could actually tear up talking about it because I burst my ass for years in that career. And I'm at a point now, I'm trying to build a new career without a full bank account that I could have had. I no longer can get a mortgage. All that I've ever wanted is to own a cafe and build a house and travel, and I'm not in a position to do any of them right now. And I kept trying to force that travel that I thought I wanted to do. So yeah, that's like, that was like in a whirlwind. that's what's been going on. But in that, I basically spent all my money in 22, and I got to a point that I came home. My last big trip was the French Polynesia, and I was kind of in the headspace of like, I'm really not happy. What am I going to do? And I said to my sister knew I wasn't happy. And I was like, right, the French Polynesia is my last chance to see, do I actually even enjoy traveling anymore? And I went there. And although now I look back and I'm like, oh my God, what an experience. I wasn't happy at the time. I ended up getting injured, and I was out for months at home. I couldn't actually walk. And that really put the brakes on and gave me that time that I really needed at the start when I moved out of my apartment to reevaluate what I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And one thing I noticed was that all the experience that I really loved were all around Wales. But when I was traveling, now I can see that I'm only going to do what I really love, whereas most people think they need to do everything, and that's never going to be possible. And I'm the kind of person, I want to do it all, but I came to realize like that's not realistic. And when I was in the Azores last year, all I wanted to do was go out on both trips to see Wales. And when I was staying in a hostel at the time, and the girls were like, are you actually going out on another boat trip? Like, and then I was like, geez, am I doing the wrong thing? Should I be doing other things? And every time I tried to do something else, I really just wasn't enjoying it, like all the touristy things. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was kind of when I got injured and like had that time to reflect, I was like, I'm not spending any more time of my time on this planet doing things that I don't love with every bit of my body and my soul. So that's when I started to move again, I was like, oh, I love whales. Like, I'm just going to start seeing them. So that's this whole thing. That was like the whole whirlwind of how everything came about.
Okay, honestly, thank you so much for sharing that perspective, because it's actually something we've heard in little bits, but not properly. This idea of, you know, like understanding that we change our minds, and sometimes we hold ourselves to those decisions or those beliefs that we held so strongly when we were a couple of years younger or in a different frame of mind. And actually, I think it's something a lot of people feel. It kind of hits in two points. It's like thinking that you have to do what you once wanted to do, but also thinking that you have to do what everyone else wants to do.
Yeah, or what you told people you were going to do.
Oh, that's exactly. And that expectation of, yeah, if you said it once before, well, then you have to keep your word, because they're going to think if you failed, or you're going to feel like a failure. Yeah. And I think it's so multifactorial. It's this idea of, yeah, it's just there's so many different levels to that kind of sense of, can we change our mind? Do we change our mind? And what does that look like in action? Yeah. And for yourself, you had spent so long trying to fulfill a dream that was once your dream, like that was once something that you believed was the right thing to do, that you would have loved and you probably could have loved and you may still love at one other point. But then to have all that savings and to be spending it on things that you kind of were looking, I guess, to see if it was going to fill you up your cup, like something you had hoped for one day.
Yeah.
And then to find out that wasn't necessarily the case, and that you were a little bit burnt out and all these different things. I think it's something that a lot of us experience in different ways, this idea of, yeah, like I said, holding ourselves accountable to an idea we once had, or an idea that someone else has for us. And that can be quite jarring. I think I found in my own life, I can think of examples already where you're like, what does that mean if I'm not the exact same person I was a couple of years ago? And particularly in that time in the pandemic, where it's like we blinked and we kind of gained 3 years. Like, I'm 26 now, and I still kind of feel like I should be 21 or two. Like, that's when I, that's in my head, that's where I am. Probably explains a lot. That's when it's this idea of, yeah, I think we can all, well, like hearing that story, to me, it's like such a reminder of, like, we can change our minds. And if we can take that as a reminder from your story, I think that's a really good one. Also,
If you're surrounded by the right people, they won't judge or they don't care what you do. They just care about you. So they'll support you no matter what, you know?
yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, you also kind of mentioned something there where this idea of, the reality, like you said, your reality was that you actually didn't love half the things you were doing, in a sense, those travel. And it's so funny because I think I remember following you, kind of around the time. I feel like you've been on my Instagram for a very long time, sharing your travels and your stories and your content. And again, it would be very easy for me to have not been on my phone being like, geez, doesn't she have the life? Isn't that amazing? Isn't she living my dream? All these different things. And I think we all do that in different ways. And I just don't know if that does us any favors, because we know that social media, and particularly content, to the level that so many people on this podcast that do it to, it's so beautiful and perfect. And that's because some moments are so beautiful and perfect. But again, I guess the conversation of this podcast is the grass always greener on the other side? And even when you're on the other side and you're traveling the different things, you're still bringing life with you. All that kind of comparison of yourself that you are today versus who you once were, it's just a nice reminder. I think it's a nice reminder going into the new year, or this will be come out in January, of just kind of, yeah, I guess changing your mind a bit. And for yourself, you found that out the hard way, I guess. I'm sure that is something that you think about. You mentioned that you think about that you have these dreams now in your head, and I guess that kind of wishful think of, if I only I didn't do this or this or all these different things. We all have that. I think sometimes they say don't live with regrets. I said I kind of feel like it's part of the human condition. I think that kind of regret helps us to think about things differently the next time around. I think a little bit of it is always a bit good. It helps guide our decisions next time. Then you learned those lessons in kind of 2022. You went to these different trips. You said, listen, nature, Wales, this idea of potentially home coffee shop, travel, and where you fitted into these current dreams, or new dreams of your own. Can you tell me about how you, I guess, transitioned into, I guess, the way of your old thinking of who you thought you were and what you wanted, to what you kind of realized after that time of reflection, what you wanted now?
Yeah, I think it was when I was like basically stuck in Ireland. I was like, I'm a very creative person, so I'm always thinking of new ways to like be able to live, I guess, or I'm not sure how the best way to put that is. But I was pretty much stuck in Ireland because I had no money. And I was like trying to get jobs and but also still adventure. And you probably followed me when I like hiked a lot. I used to hike like twice a day. I loved it, but I could no longer hike even because I had a knee injury. So I had to do things that were like different. And then I just started just like I guess looking for the marine life in Ireland that I had been looking for abroad. And there is so much. And I guess that was the transition. And for me, then that's all I wanted to do, you know?
Yeah, I guess it was probably such a natural transition. So it came from that realization of, I just want to be out on the boats. And I think, again, it's just really interesting to hear that you had that realization abroad, and you brought that because I guess you had to. You were at home, you had no more money, you were, recovering from an injury. It was like, I either have to wait and go abroad and do this all again in different places, or I can try to figure out how I can do it here.
And I actually did not want to leave Ireland. I was just like, I love Ireland. Why do I keep leaving here?
Yeah, I think it's such a, I think, again, I always try to be non-biased about on these conversations personally, because it's not really about me. But I'm the same. I'm the same. I come sometimes go to London like once every a couple of months, and I come back on that plane from Stansted, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited to be back. And I'm like, Hannah, you were away for 48 hours. I'm like, even I'm, the people coming home in the airport and stuff, it's like before Christmas, we're recording this. And I'm like, I can't watch those videos
My
on
God.
Instagram because they hit me in a place that I don't understand. And I think it's one of those things where that is where I'm at as well. And for you, this, I guess, opened this To be honest, you've opened the world of marine life into my eyes, and particularly around Ireland, and a couple of people who I think you're very friendly with who are doing this kind of bringing the outdoors into not even just into our houses or onto our phones, but into our minds as well, and our understanding of what is not necessarily just outdoors, but in the water, around the water. And you kind of started, or I how I kind of remember first following you is that bringing like hiking, nature, and people together was something that I believe you, I guess, then found a big passion for. Was, you realized that you were here, you wanted to be here, you had a passion for nature and everything like that. Can you tell me about that transition of, from here to now, or from then to now, of, I guess, your love and appreciation of not just Ireland, but showcasing it as well?
Yeah, I think it just naturally happened. I actually feel like so privileged to get to be here because there was one, like I've had a lot of time for reflection over the last while. But I feel so privileged to be here because at one point the Irish had to leave. We were forced to leave. So to get to be here is just such a lovely feeling that we just never have to go anywhere. If we choose not to, but that there's so much on our doorstep, because I think a lot of Irish people have this perception potentially that like that the grass is greener somewhere else, or there's nothing to do in Ireland, there's nothing here. And to be able to showcase not just like what there is in Ireland, but all the marine life that's here is just absolutely, I love it.
Yeah, it's just, I think, yeah, I think people, and it's funny, I have friends who are emigrating every single second of the day. I have friends who are coming home, talking about coming home. And I think there's no right answer to that question. But I do think what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing personally is that there's this beginning of like a resurgence of people who've either come away bringing back what they've learned, but also people who are here, like, let's make the most of it type of attitude. And I have met more people that way in a year than maybe I had in 25 other years. And more people who I think value the things that I valued a lot and enjoyed being outside and having meaningful conversations. And I think that that is just growing, honestly, exponentially. I think it's happening really, really fast. And I think, it's so cool to hear people not just do that, but do that as a career, do that as a vocation. And for yourself, like you've mentioned, your big part in that is marine life, and is your passion for understanding and seeing and advocating for what's going on underneath the water. And I would just love to hear a little bit about, what you've learned through that journey, because I think it's one I would be quite clueless other to what you post and all these things like that. I don't know enough about it and I want to know more. So can you tell me a little bit about, I guess, your understanding of marine life and Irish marine life in general, and how we can learn more about it if we're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically it can be seen all year round because I think I honestly was so clueless to there being anything in the water apart from like down in Dingle to see fungi. And I guess people's perception maybe is that it's only in Dingle that you can see like dolphins, but even in Dingle itself you can see is where I saw basking sharks. Tons of them. Not only common dolphins, bottlenose as well, fin whales. Kerry is quite a haven for whales and dolphins, actually, and it's absolutely stunning as well. And great food and all that. And then I spend most of my summer in Donegal Bay this year. And seeing the humpbacks there. And actually in Ireland, there's one thing that is like really special that humpbacks do. And like I love all marine life, but humpbacks I'm 100% obsessed with. I think I make that perfectly clear. Even when I went to Norway to see the orca, I was like, oh, I actually have to admit, like humpbacks. If one shows up, I'm just jumping in the water beside it because I can't help myself. But yeah, anyway, humpbacks do this thing in Ireland that is actually quite rare to see, and it's called bubble net feeding. And it's where, and we've seen it like so many times on the boats, is where they blow bubbles and pushes fish into a specific area that then it kind of disorientates them. The fish actually don't know they can swim straight through the bubbles, which is, I just think it's hilarious. The poor fish. But yeah, then it allows the whales to just engulf like all the fish in one go, you know. And what's mad about humpbacks is they generally travel alone, but they always come together to feed. So I guess they help each other in that bubble feeding, and especially if there's young humpbacks, they teach them how to bubble net. It's absolutely, just before we jumped on this call, I was editing a reel to show off bubble feeding in Ireland, because it's a lot of times that you read about bubble feeding, researchers say about Alaska and these other places, but yeah, Ireland's a place to see that.
I honestly, it's one of those things where, like, and I guess it's kind of naive that when I think about, I think about the jellyfish I don't want to see when I go for a swim in the summer, or you think of Finding Nemo, and you can understand, and I think it's just because we don't think about it, we don't see it, so we don't think about it. And what your content does is it brings that to us, and so for the first time we're not just seeing the fin that we would see if we are going to see the dolphins down in Kerry. It's like we're actually seeing what's happening underneath the water, and no, nothing or none of your content compared to like what you have just seen in Norway has hit me so much when it comes to actually seeing these things from underneath, not just even above. And I think, you know, it's interesting. So you had kind of gone through this idea of travel, Ireland, everything like that, but marine life and whales and orca came out as something that you were going to travel for no matter where you had to go and see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
On your own, whether it was with a group. And it's just so topical because it's one of your most recent trips, I think, that I can remember. I think it is your most recent trip. And I would love you to tell me about that experience, because I think it's something that maybe we won't all get to experience. Maybe we don't all want to, or maybe it's something that we hear this conversation and like, that is something that we can actually do. That is something we can see with our own eyes. Because from the videos I've seen, it's like, it kind of doesn't seem real. It's so amazing.
It doesn't feel real sometimes. It's absolutely magic getting to be in the water with them. And that was one reason I went to the French Polynesia, because I kept seeing humpbacks above the water. And I was like, okay, I can see their back, I can see their fluke, but I want to see the whole body right in front of me. And so that's why I went there. But seeing, and the one thing about swimming with orca is like the misconception, I would say, that everyone thinks of them as being this really terrifying creature, because that's how they're portrayed. And I'm really glad you asked me this, actually, because it's something that I really am passionate about. Orca are actually called like killer whales, but that's not actually their real name. Spanish people interpret them or call them whale killers, because orca actually do prey on baby whales as a form of food. And then the mistranslation, they became known as killer whales, but their actual name is orca, and they are a dolphin, they're not a whale. Yeah.
Literally mind blown.
So they're a dolphin, and in the water they are beyond beautiful. Like, the interactions we had were honestly incredible. There was one orca that kept coming up to the boat like to say hello, and it like swam under the boat, like popped up, swam back. They swim right beside you underwater, and like they turn even to like have a look at you and like swim on. They're beautiful as well.
Hey, my name is Hannah and I am the host of Greener Fields. If you're enjoying this conversation, make sure to leave us a rating, share it with your friends, and follow us on Instagram to keep up to date with all things Greener Fields.
Honestly, like, I actually had no idea about that. I don't think I'm the only one, because I did not know they were a dolphin. I thought they were a killer whale, and I thought there was two different types of whales, and you were swimming with the ones that don't kill and all these different things. And I think it's the fact that we sometimes take things, I guess this is a general thing, we take things for face value. We don't question things. And when we hear, the fact that you were snorkeling alongside them, seeing them and recognizing that they're not something to be afraid of, but actually something to, I guess that's the whole thing with marine life. It's not something, if we understand it, if we can value it, maybe we can do more to protect it and different things like that. And it's something that I think you also do when it comes to gray seals or something like that. Aren't you involved with the kind of seal sanctuary and things like that, which I just think just brings your whole what you do, not just showcasing it, but it's also you're advocating for it and you're protecting it while doing it. And all, I guess educating as well is something that is a big part of bringing these incredible scenes into our phones and into our heads and things like that, that we would have seen it had to be CGI'd in Finding Nemo for us to, which again I think is just, it's so special with what you do. And yeah, I just, that whole trip looked amazing. It just looked, and also I could see how much you bloody loved every second.
Oh, if I could go again in the morning, I would. And thankfully, I am going next year again. And if anyone wants to come, they're more than welcome.
It's amazing. I think when people see those videos, I think there's people are gonna be like, how could, I mean, if I like, I'm like, oh my God, I know the dates are in December, and I'm like, I wonder, stranger things have happened. I was like, maybe on vacation.
Most people, the biggest question I got about that is, were you not scared? And my response always is, I am more scared of some humans than I am of an animal in the water, honestly.
Yeah, and you probably, that's there's probably a lot of logic to that. I will consider that logical, knowing what's going on and everything with that. But for you and your perspective, I'm so interested in basically your thoughts, because you have been and done so many different things when it comes to travel. This, pondering the idea of emigration at one point, coming home, falling in love with Ireland, falling in love with specific parts of this country that make it what it is to you. Where is your head at when it comes to, being a young person in Ireland today? A lot of, if you're like me, it feels like a lot of people are leaving or gone or want to leave. It can be difficult, incredibly difficult when it comes to housing, independent living, some work opportunities. Your perspective, where's your head at?
Currently I kind of sway between a couple of different perspectives. I'm currently living at home, not ideal, 30 years old. As I said, I've always wanted my own house. So that is what I am working towards at the moment. Now, that's very difficult when you are in a position that you have to pay cash for a house. So we're seeing how that one plays out. But I find a lot of people are like getting cabins and things like that in Ireland at the moment. And honestly, I just don't see any place that I was thinking about renting. The quality of houses to rent, so poor. And my family has a lovely home. I'm so lucky that I have somewhere to live. And yeah, that's where we're at the moment with it. I still think about going to Australia for a bit, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, we'll see how things play out. I'm waiting for 2024 to come around to see where we progress with everything. I think the one thing for me is that when, like, I spend a lot of time on my own, and like we were talking about earlier, it's kind of like the conversations that you have, because I do really well when I get to converse with people that are like-minded, that are like open-minded about things, that are have just a different perspective on life. I don't watch the news. I don't do any of, I'm not that kind of person. So I prefer to surround myself with people that are like-minded like that. And I think that's quite difficult when you live at home, and that I don't know actually that many people in Wexford. I'm only here a little while again, and I'm starting to build up relationships again. So it just takes a bit of time, you know. But in the last while being in Ireland, that my best times are the times that I have got to spend with people that really get me, or you know, get to have those conversations with. Even I had one of my best friends stay with me for a week in Wexford, and it was honestly so good for both of us to do that, you know. But yeah, on the fence about moving away or staying here, what to do.
And this is what this podcast is all for. This is what we're here for. It's this conversation. It's chatting through those different things. I think, you know, I think it would be, now there's some people who have been certain about their stance on here or there, travel or immigration or all these different things. The majority, myself included, is always going to be swaying the maybe potentially could I, would I have that? And I think that fence is where most of us sit. And I think that's okay. I think sometimes we put that pressure on ourselves to be certain and control everything. I think the only thing that we can control is the idea that we actually have no control. With anything. We think we do, and there's small things that we can, but the reality is that there's things are changing every day. And also will change every day when it comes to where we fit on that. So we stay where we go. And you know, something you mentioned there that I think is always a topic of conversation in my mind is trying to find those like-minded people. Trying to make friends as an adult, trying to build connections, particularly when either you've moved home, like you have to Wexford, and your friends are either away or you haven't spent time in the one place in a while. How have you I guess worked alongside that, because it's not easy. I think it's really, really difficult, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, and I guess for me, all my friends are travel friends, so we're all always on the go or moving about. And it has its blessings and also its curses with that regard. And none of us mind like driving the length of the country to see each other. But it's having people like on the daily basis that you can have a con. And I'm very much so like love having a conversation face to face in person rather than texting. Like, I'm on emails, I'm on social media. I don't want to text a best friend. I want to see them right in front of me and have a proper conversation, you know. How have I navigated it? Do you know what? Going into coffee shops, I've made so many friends through going into cafes that I love. Like I go and work in cafes instead of sitting at home. So that's really lovely. Also just meeting people kind of doing the same thing. I meet people even out on the coast looking for whales. So that's pretty cool. And then on the boat trips that I've done as well. So I guess that's kind of how I've navigated it. I'm no pro, I really enjoy my own company. So I'm really good at that as well. But yeah, that's kind of how I've navigated it so far.
I think it's one of those things where I think it takes effort, and I think sometimes it takes more effort than not. And I think this idea of being good in your own company, I'm very good in my own company too. I'm probably too good. I enjoy it too much. That sometimes I have to push myself to see the different people, because I know I'll benefit, and I love spending time with the friends that I have. But that company that you have in your own, it's just trying to find that balance, I guess. And I think, you know, either I know a lot of people who are abroad and they make their friends abroad, but even this idea of coming home or going abroad, it's this idea, I guess, of always trying to figure out who are your people, who for a quick coffee. And I'm like yourself, like a lot of my friends don't live very close to me, or I don't live very close to them, and I think I'm always kind of missing that person to just go for a quick coffee with or quick walk with, because they are for
evenings. It's evenings in the winter,
absolutely,
that you're like, oh, it's like I end up just editing. I'm not a TV person, so I'm making reels or I'm editing some photos, and I really, that sparks joy in me anyway, just seeing a whale. So we're all good. But yes, doing something in the evening, it would be nice to have friends close by to do that kind of thing with, but it comes in time, I guess.
I think, and that's where I think that taking that pressure off yourself in your 20s and 30s, that you have to be super social, you have to be so have so many friends all the time. I think I know where I picked that message up. I certainly did, and I don't have that reality of being super social, super busy all the time. That's just not my reality and decision or a choice I'm making. But I think taking that pressure off, that that's actually okay too, and a little bit more on your own, particularly in the winter, whether that's spent relaxing, I don't know, editing, working, reading, whatever it is, maybe that's okay too. And that kind of self-judgment of you're in your 20s, this is the prime of your life. I don't know how much I believe in that anymore, because I just think I'm not sure how helpful that is to like our overall well-being. But you've lived so many different versions of your own life, have changed mind, hopefully you will be in a capacity to change it again if that's what you want to do. But you've learned so much, and obviously I have learned so much from this conversation just by listening to what you had to say. But if there was a little bit of advice that you could leave with some of our listeners who have definitely taken something already from this conversation that you've learned over the years that you kind of wish you knew a little bit sooner.
I would say listen to what you want to do. It's one thing that I wish I could have told like my younger self is that no matter what you want to do, that's right. No matter what anybody else's judgment is, and a lot of the time it's better off to just make that decision for yourself and just hold it so strong instead of asking anyone else's opinion. I just go for it because it'll be fine, you know.
Absolutely. I think, there's never enough times you can hear that, because I think it's just true. And I think it kind of goes against to what we grew up sometimes thinking. We have to be like everyone else. That's what it means, X, Y, and Z. I think you have that intuition or that gut feeling for a reason. And very likely it won't lead you astray.
And you have to honor or it'll just keep coming back around.
This is what I say. I always how I describe it is that if I ignore it, it's going to come back the next day 10 times more aggressive, and then more aggressive, and you don't get it out of your head until you act on it. That's my experience anyway. But yeah, this podcast is called Greener Fields because it's my cringy, cheesy take on is the grass greener on the other side, or just wherever you water it for yourself, my dear, where is the grass greener?
I think it's wherever you water it, 100%, you're not gonna get be happier, find more joy by jumping on an airplane or driving down the road. It's whatever brings you joy inside of you, it's gonna go with you wherever you are.
Obsessed, absolutely obsessed. So true. There is so much that I think you already have planned for 2024. There are so many different ways that you are bringing, like I said, the outdoors in, the underwater in, and different passion products, passion projects. God, you can tell it's almost 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Where can we support you? What are you excited for in 2024? What can we expect from yourself, your page, to follow you along in your dreams? What's coming up?
Well, I've just released my group trip for December 2024 to the winter Wales in Norway. So I'm super excited to that and about that, and that's again bringing people together to enjoy this experience. And then my next biggest goal is to get to Australia and Tonga in September and October. So fingers crossed all that happens. But yeah, in the meantime, it's just I'm dying to see a whale in Wexford. That's top of my goals. So let's see, will that happen first?
Listen, I think whenever that happens, because I know it absolutely will, you're going to capture it and bring it all to us as well, and so that we can see a little bit of that magic from the Wexford coastline. And yeah, I just want to thank you for this conversation. I have learned so much about you, but also it's been really such a great conversation that's allowed me to reflect on different things that I've thought about at different times. And I think your capacity to think about things, self-awareness, the idea of changing your mind, embracing what's on our doorstep, and not just what's on our doorstep, but what's in the water surrounding our entire country and around the world, and how you do things is just really, it's very special. And I'm just so grateful to have you on Greener Fields and part of this conversation. So Sarah Kim, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so magic. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of Greener Fields. To get involved, follow us on Instagram at Greener Fields and let us know who you'd like us to talk to next. Thank you so much again, and I'll chat to you really soon.